Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it with no set schedule, all that kind of thing. So, over the last few episodes, I have been reviewing books which have been recommended to me by Science Fiction Book Review Podcast listeners in the past and have been on my to-read list for a long time. And the reason I got to these ones is because I just went onto goodreads.com onto the page where it lists all of the books in my to-read list. And then I sorted them by star rating, because I thought, well, if I want to get some good books that people have recommended to me, that's the best way to do it. The first one was The Warded Man by Peter Brett, which was okay, pretty good in parts. It was good in parts. Ending, not so great. But then this way of deciding what to read really hit home and really paid off when I read The Sparrow by Mary Dory Russell. Can't remember what her name is. So that was good. Gave that one 5 stars. Spoiler if you've not listened to the last review, but that was a very good book for me. And then the next book down was called The All Pro by Scott Sigler. And I would have read that one next, except that is the third book in a series, and I've not read the second book in that series. I've only read the first book in that series. So it goes like this. The first book, which came out in 2000, I'm not sure when it came out, but I read The Rookie, or listened to the podcast audio for The Rookie back in 2010. And the next book, which is called The Starter, wasn't out yet. That actually came out in September. I think I read The Rookie in like February or something, or January or February of 2010, and the starter was only completed and like available as a complete audiobook where you can download every single episode and listen to it all the way through, which is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to wait a week between chapters of a book. That's not the kind of thing I want to do. But anyway, the starter was completed in September 2010, or that's what Goodreads told me. That's when it was published. So whatever, it wasn't quite complete when I did that one. So handily though, on my list of books in my to read list ordered by star ratings, The All Pro was then at the top of the list, or the last time I checked. It won't be anymore. It will be still, I guess. Anyway, the Rookie wasn't on the list. I read that before. The Starter was like very, very close to the top, like number 2 or 3 and stuff like that. So it's handy. So I thought I would check it out. I reviewed The Rookie back in 2010. And now The Starter, which is the second book in the Galactic Football League series. And also, it kind of coincided with the end of the NFL season and the Super Bowl, which wasn't that great. Why put Coldplay on a halftime show? I didn't understand that decision at all. It kind of comes into the end of my NFL watching, which I've caught quite a few games this year. If you don't know, I travel a lot on cruise ships and they always have ESPN on there. And at this time of year, well, not anymore, but like over the course of, September, well, pretty much actually like July all the way through to February, it is just NFL TV. Actually, maybe the NFL do have a real TV station, but ESPN is pretty much all American football all the time, except for a little bit, if someone like, Steph Curry is making news with some basketball, he'll be featured as well. Very, very, very little ice hockey. But then it's pretty much just mostly wall-to-wall NFL. So I kind of pick that up by osmosis. And I do actually quite enjoy watching the games. The physical athletic ability of these guys is absolutely incredible. So I come into a series about galactic American football, what they call gridiron football in this book, or that's they use to distinguish it from other kinds of football, from soccer and things like that. So it's a galactic game set 700 years or however long in the future it is. You kind of got to be maybe not a fan of American football. It kind of helps if you know sort of slightly what goes on in there, like the terminology, like what a first down is, what a touchback is, all those kind of things. It helps to know all of that. I wouldn't say it's totally necessary, and I do remember in the first season there would be these interludes where it'd say, okay, how gridiron football works is this. You get the ball, and it's on the line, you've got 3 tries to get it 10 yards away, you know, and it kind of goes through some of those different things. Okay, this is this position. What they're allowed to do is this. They're not allowed to run down the field. And if they do run down the field, they're not allowed to catch the ball unless it's passed, you know, and all these different kind of rules, which you kind of I pick up most of those rules, but I don't think anybody knows all of the rules of American football. Even the, I guess even the referees on the field, they'll throw in the flags for things. I'm like, what happened then? Oh, it's this thing, this illegal formation. It's like, how did they even spot that illegal formation? Anyway, I don't understand all of these rules. And I think a lot of the players don't even understand all the rules. They don't even need to read all of the rules books. I think that came out with that Deflategate thing as well. Anyway, I do like sports. Tennis is my main thing. Juggling is my other thing. NFL, I'll watch it. What else was I going to say here? I've got some notes here. Oh, yeah. The good thing is about this book is that I listened to The Rookie. It's funny, I'm trying to think of what the first book would be called, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, The Starter, that's where the story starts. No, the story doesn't start at the starter, that's the one I'm reviewing there. So The Rookie in 2010, and then I was like, oh, I wonder how much I'll actually remember. And you know what? I remembered it all. As soon as they mentioned any names in this book, I was like, oh, that's that one. Like, oh, this is Guido the Splithead. I was like, okay, he's the owner. And this is Quentin Barnes. Okay, I know he's the main guy. You know, all of these different characters, they must be really good characters, because as soon as they said anything, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this guy. And in the 6 years ago when I read the first book, he was doing this and this and this, and that person died, and then all that, you know, and it was just all there in my head. And I think that must be the sign of a really good, strong book. Even if the story in these books isn't amazing, it's like a really good package of, you know, character and story that 6 years later I can pick it up and not have to wonder who the characters are, and not have to even try to remember what the different alien races are and what their jobs are, or what planets were, or, you know, where the characters come from. It was just like, oh yeah, I remember this, oh yeah, I remember this, oh, I remember this. And I think that's really good. That actually shows just how strong The Rookie is as a piece of audio fiction. And I think it isn't just the writing, I do think it's actually the audio production, because this is written by Scott Sigler, but he does the performance of it. And it's not just a reading, it is very much a performance. He doesn't just put on different voices, he puts different vocal effects on it, different you know, background noises, like crowd noises when they're in doing the thing, you know, or when they're on the football fields. And yeah, you know, some sound effects, not a lot of sound effects, but they are there, like that when the time slows, you know, when he goes into like a, okay, and then time slowed down, it's like, time slowed down, and he looked down the field and saw this, and, you know, and those kind of things really bring the character to life, that, you know, instead of just going, oh, I say this, it's like, no, no, and you're like, okay, well, that's that kind of alien, I definitely remember that character. But even within the different alien species, their characters do come out, you know, the different human characters have all got different, you know, different voices. It's not just like, oh, and this person is an alien, and so all the aliens talk like this. They do actually have, you know, subtle changes within alien species between different characters, but they are there. Anyway, I just thought it was pretty impressive. Like, as soon as I went into this book, it kind of showed the strength of The Rookie for me, just to pick it all up and just go with it straight away without having to have any updates or any, like, read the synopsis of the previous book or, like, a list of characters or anything. Just went straight back into it. And also, without much kind of like going back over old ground, it did say, oh yes, this character is from this planet. I was like, oh right, that's it. Which is handy, but not a lot of like, I just started the last book in the Ancillary Justice, or the Ancillary Sword, Ancillary Mercy book, and I just finished the previous book, and as I started reading it, it was almost unreadable, because all it did was, it was just saying, oh, and this character was this, and if you remember, this character did this in the last book, and did this and this, and I was like, yes, I just finished the last book 3 days ago. And so with that book, I've actually decided not to read it for a while. I'm going to leave it a month or so, and then go back to it, just so it isn't, the previous book isn't so clear in my mind, that I'm not so annoyed about, you know, reading those statements. And if you remember in the last book, this is what happened. And if you remember in the last book, this character did this, like that. I just read it. Anyway, there isn't very much of that at all in The Starter. But I think it just relies on the strength of the previous book for it to be actually memorable rather than having to go back over that kind of stuff. So what have I got here? Yes, I've talked for a long time about why I got into this book and how happy I was to get back to it as well. The setup of the world, I covered this a lot in my previous review, but that was 6 years ago now. So it's understandable if you haven't gone back and listened to all 297 other episodes of this before you're listening to this. But the way it works is this. In the future, the humans have spread out a bit in the galaxy, and as they spread out in the galaxy, they've met other aliens who are all at the same time, weirdly enough, all spreading out in the galaxy at around about the same time, and people are going, oh, isn't this weird that we all suddenly got spaceflight, interstellar spaceflight at around about the same time? It's like, oh, isn't that weird that it all just happened? Anyway, the races didn't wipe each other out. A few of them did go extinct, but generally there's been some various galactic wars, and now there is a certain kind of alien. I think it's the Credorakians. Again, most of these alien names are a bit strange, but anyway, I think it's the Credorakians who are kind of like in power across a big swathe of the known galaxy, which is only a tiny, 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 tiny part of the actual galaxy. But, you know, in this little corner of the galaxy, they are in charge. And the idea is that instead of, letting people, having like the different... what I'm trying to say here. So they use American football to bring people together and to kind of keep them apart in a way that, like, they want people to be unified around symbols rather than around their, their species or their races. So the idea being that, hey, let's get together in all these different people and let's come up with a sport that all the different alien species, all the different races, they can all play together. And that can be the main thing. And also like an outlet of aggression. But generally, we need a sport. And American football, gridiron football, as they call it here, NFL style, is the sport. The idea being that, okay, who's really good at throwing? Humans have good arms at being at throwing, okay? So baseline human beings, even though they have to be pretty big guys or girls, but they have to be good at throwing. So the quarterback, which is the main throw down the field guy, he's going to, he or she, there are females do it in this book as well. Not so much in the first book, the rookie, very few human females, but there is one introduced in this book as well, which is pretty cool. People throwing, humans are going to be throwing. Also, humans are pretty good at running. So, they're not really fast, but they're kind of compact and are pretty good at running. So some humans doing there. Then there's the heavy humans, which have been genetically modified and bred to be able to survive on very, very large planets with lots of gravity. And they're massive. So they're going to be, they're going to be like defensive linemen. And they're also going to be running backs. So they're going to be the big guys who can just like plow through other species. And then you've got the different aliens who fulfill the different roles. So you've got the Scolano, and they are like cricket, grasshoppery kind of things, and they can jump really high and run really fast. So they run down the field and try and catch like the deep balls, the long thrown balls. They're the I'm not even sure what they call them. It's the wide receivers, I guess. Anyway, and then you got the humans as tight ends, and then the defensive lines and the offensive line, the big guys who smash into each other and give each other concussions in the current world, in the real NFL. These guys are different big aliens. You've got I was going to call them the Sith. I don't think these are called the Sith. The Skith? Anyway, you got the Lith? I can't remember. I said these are all very memorable. Like the characters and the species are memorable. Not all of the names of the different alien species are memorable right off the top of my head. I finished listening to this book 5 days ago or something, 3 or 4 days, 5 days ago. Anyway, and then you've got the different kind of the Quith warriors and other people and the other races. So there's five different alien species which come together and they each fulfill the different roles that you see in the NFL, I guess college football as well. But the idea being that the guys who run down the field are kind of strong and big and quick, but the big guys, they sit there right on the offensive and defensive linemen and they're trying to sack or block the sack and try and get the tackles as they go through. So I really actually quite like this setup because there's not very many other sports where that would be the thing, I mean, except for like solo sports where you get different people doing different different body sizes, but they're generally kept apart, like in combat. like the heavyweight. That's why you have the heavyweight and the lightweight and the bantamweight and all these other weights to keep those people apart. Whereas here, in the book, the starter, actually in NFL as well, you get like the big guy trying to crush the little guy, even though when they actually stand next to normal size humans, you realize, oh, they're actually all big guys, but some of them are really big guys. So that's good fun. It's a good setup. Also, what I like about the world is that, okay, that's the stuff that happens on the field, but off the field, you do have all of these different alien species interacting in different kind of conquered peoples, and some independent people as well, but like actually, like not when we don't go that wide, but we actually just stick with the game. I like it that all of the stuff which is kind of behind the scenes in the real world of football and sports management and maybe not always about the NFL, but bringing it back to FIFA and stuff like that. FIFA is all like, oh, corruption, scandal, it's all being paid off. And what I like about the Galactic Football League series is that that is just all up front. It's like, no, okay, corruption, it's not just corruption is real, but guess what? The gangsters are the ones who own the football teams. That's the idea. Okay, so there's this mafia kind of group over here, and they now run this team. Now they own that team, and there's like a different like a weird thing that some football players also are gang members and others aren't. So some of them are just employees, and they come in and they're like, well, I'm not going to swear an oath that you're going to be my crime boss. You're just my boss. You're not my crime boss. And so that kind of quandary goes on as well. The other thing which is always behind the scenes, especially now and becoming more so with the NFL, is the whole concussion scandal, which is it's more than just concussions. It's like massive brain damage, which I do think is going to be a big, a mu much, much bigger problem for the NFL in maybe 10 years. Not because they're going to care more, it's because parents of school kids are going to care more, and they're going to be like, okay, let's not put little Johnny into the school football team. Let's put him into the soccer team, or make him play, I know, tennis or baseball or some like another sport which isn't going to make him die when he's 55 with a rotten brain. And the chance of him actually earning millions as an NFL player is tiny, In a way, I don't mind. Well, it's not that I don't mind. I think in regards to NFL concussions, if someone wants to say, okay, I'm going to, this happens with boxers as well, like, okay, I'm going to get hit in the head a lot. That might give me brain problems later on, but I'm going to get paid millions and millions and millions of dollars and be a massive star, a massive celebrity, and people are going to love me. That's something that an informed adult can take. That is a choice that they can make. I was like, oh, I'm going to probably reduce overall health for more money. I would never do it, but some people might take that choice. Whereas school football players, they're not making that choice. They're just being signed up and going, oh yeah, I want to do this, and they're not getting any money. And then college players is even worse, because they're there to get an education, but also they're not being paid either. And the chances of them making any money being drafted into the NFL are tiny. There's like thousands and thousands and thousands of football players take part in college football every year, like, or leave the college game, and how many get drafted like into the NFL? Like, 200, or I know it's very small, like 300 or something, however many picks up they get. Like, what is it, 32 teams, 5 picks each? That's not very many people move on and have a chance to get the league minimum pay, whatever that is. So what I like about the Galactic Football League is that this is just there. This is just on the surface. Like, yeah, people don't last very long. There's even in the same way that the NFL has like a oh, this person is out with this injury and this person out with that injury. In the Galactic Football League, they have spots where, like, deaths. This time, this person died, but it was a clean hit, so it's fine. And this person died this week. This week, no deaths to report. This week, someone killed 2 people in one game. That's the first time someone has ever killed 2 other beings, or sentients, as they call them. Yes, in one game. And yeah, it's just it takes that drama, heightens it, and makes it, what do I say, even bigger, and it brings it to the surface. It doesn't hide it here in Galactic Football, which makes it more dramatic. So what we actually have is on the field and off the field, with the different crime and politics and the actual game playing out, it's like a proxy for like conflict within the world. Like, specifically, that's what they actually set it up to be. Whereas in the novel, when it actually sets, when it, as it plays out, it feels very much like military science fiction, but in a way which is you know, it's military science fiction, but instead of a series of battles, it's a series of matches. And that's always what annoys me about a lot of military science fiction is that, okay, why are these people fighting all the time? I remember that, I think it was in Old Man's War by John Scalzi. It's like, and then they're into battle over here, and then they go into battle over there, and I'm like, why are we fighting? Like, how can there be just so many wars going on all the time that someone can, you know, they can have a good story arc or a good character arc, which goes from, you know, here to here to here to here and doesn't take too long, but also, you know, I don't know what to say. It's sort of like you have to have, you know, a series of battles for someone to go through, to rise up through the ranks, to become from a lowly soldier up to, you know, a squad leader, up to another leader, and then be leading, you know, full battles and stuff. That's the kind of general military science fiction thing that they have to go through. But there has to be wars going on all the time. And what I like this, it's like peaceful military science fiction, even though people are dying, but it's like a structured series of battles rather than like, oh, and there's just a war going on and let's go to war again. Oh, and we need to do battle over here. Oh, okay, let's go do battle over there. It kind of diminishes what war is actually like in a lot of military science fiction just because it seems to be happening all the time. So that's pretty good. The action on the field is pretty good, but in this book I do realize it felt like a step down from the starter. In the starter, there was action on the field, and the story of what was happening on the field actually felt like a story in itself. Like, you know, okay, we need to get this many yards, it's going to be difficult here, I'm going to bump into this person on the next play, and it felt like, you know, it felt a lot more coherent action on the field with the rookie, the previous book. But now here in the starter, which is the second book, it feels like the action, a lot of it begins like mid-game. It's sort of like, okay, right, we're here, and this has happened so far in the game, and now we get like a few plays and a few throws and a few bumps and knocks, and then it goes, right, and that's all we're getting from this game, and at the end of the game, it was this score. And while that was actually, I think, better, I mean, in some ways it's better because you can get the story, you can get through the season, the pacing can pick up and you can have more off-field action, I kind of missed some of those like long dramatic sequences on the field of play to really get the skill of the characters. Whereas now in the starter, we don't need that so much because we already know what the skills are. Now it's sort of like, okay, how do we build a team? And that's what it comes down to in this book. Most of it is Quentin Barnes is the new quarterback. He had to prove that he was a good enough quarterback to lead the team in The Rookie. And he did, and it's like, okay, now this season, or next season, you're going to be the starting quarterback. You're going to be the team captain. You're going to be the guy directing it. And this guy, Quentin Barnes, is so not ready for this job. And he's making stupid decisions. And a lot of the decisions, you're like, yep, this is just not the right decision to make. And it's made very clear that he makes bad decisions. But he sticks by them, and he has to learn how to do it. You've got the other guys who are around him who've played many times before. Some of them have won the Galaxy Bowl, which is the Super Bowl here. Some of them give him advice, some of them don't, you know, some of them give him good advice. But this book is about Quentin Barnes. Now he is the leader of the team. He has to, you know, really, you know, pull it together. And what I really liked about this, which is I don't think there's many spoilers here. They got promoted up to the big leagues, up to tier one at the end of The Rookie. And now they're in tier one. It's like, right, we're going to win. And it's like, oh no, we're playing in the big leagues. Now we're playing with the big boys. It's like, and then the book becomes, okay, we don't want to get relegated that right away. Let's see if we can just stay here. And that's the kind of story arc. So yep, Quentin Barnes putting the team together. He's got his right-hand man, John, is it John Quigley? And there's some a little bit clunky foreshadowing. It's like, oh, and did you know John Quigley has a brother called Judas Quigley? And he's really good as well. I'm like, okay, well, he's going to be joining the team later. And he does. And it's actually quite a fun sequence of him doing that as well. So yeah, it's pretty good. That's the main story. And it doesn't sound like off the day, oh, this is going to be great. It's about a guy. It's about a guy who's a team leader and trying not to be relegated. It works really well, and I think this is the good thing. Like, so many sports stories are about the triumphs or about the losses, whereas I think some great sports stories, like Rocky, you're like, oh, and he wins at the end. No, he doesn't. I think he, you know, at the end of Rocky, they fight, and then it's a split decision from the judges, like, well, I didn't get knocked down through 12 rounds of world title heavyweight boxing, let's have a rematch, you know. That's the kind of level it gets to. And that's kind of what it feels like here in this book. It's like, well, we don't want to be too triumphant. What we're really wanting to do is not fail. which is pretty good. Oh, I quite like, there was some more Church of Barnes, Church of Quentin Barnes stuff here in this book, which was fun. I made that note. The performance of the audiobook, yes, it is a it's by Scott Sigler, and as I said before, it's not only that he does a really good job with the voices and the effects and the sound effects. What I think it really benefits from is that he wrote this and he's performing it, and he's a really good performer, so he can write to his performance strength. And also within each sentence, he knows what that sentence means. He knows what he wanted to mean by that sentence, and so it is very clear in that way. He can be a bit more expressive, a bit more definite in the meaning of what he wants to say. So it does feel quite like a bit young adult novelish, but that's good. I kind of like the young adult novel, which isn't always about war and it isn't always about killing and it's not dystopian, although I guess this is dystopian, but it's in fact, yeah, it is very dystopian, but it's not, the focus isn't on like, oh, this person. I maybe later on in the series it is going to get more political. I think that's probably the way it's going. But at the moment, it is about, yay, let's have fun on the field. People are going to die, but hey, let's throw the ball and bump into people and have nights out on the town. And it's very chaste as well. It's like, oh, just this, oh, there's this someone, and she's very good looking. Oh, and she kissed me. Oh, kiss me. Oh, someone's going to kiss me. Yes, very chaste, which it feels, again, very much like, you know, American science fiction for young people. Everyone is, oh, very good. We'll see how that goes in the future as well. What I also really liked about the performance and the writing is the different genres of what happens. It's not just, oh, this is this person does this and then he said that. Then you have these interludes, which is like a narrow report from the Galactic Football League, and this is what happened, this thing. And then you have the call-in shows, the Galaxy's Best Sports call-in show, and you get the pundits talking backwards and forwards, and I think this, I don't know this, I think this, and it just plays out. That's not like he said, it's just a script, and he's performing all the parts in the script. And I really do like those call-in shows because it gets a little outside view. In the first story, in The Rookie, it did feel a bit too much like everything has taken place from Quentin's point of view. And here, all the main action does, but it's good to have these little outside looks on the action. What else do I have here? I made a note. Look at the notes on my phone, which was something else. Okay. Oh, yeah. Swearing. There is no swearing in this book, but then there is all swearing, and it's just in, like, Red Dwarf doesn't have, they don't say naughty words, they replace all naughty words with variants of smeg. Here, instead of saying fucking, he says shucking. Ah, oh, shuck you. And he was shucking over here, and I was like, okay, I totally appreciate that. There's not clever swearing. It's like, this is, I guess it's fracking as well, is the other one, you know, frack you. It's like, okay, literally this is just a cinnamon. It's a cinnamon for fucking. And you know what? It works. There's not a lot of swearing, but I guess in some parts of the book there is more swearing, but it comes and goes. But when it first started off and shucking, I was like, really? We're going to shucking? And then it just disappeared, and I was like, oh, what you mean is fucking? That's no problem as well. Another thing about the writing, the different naming schemes for the different aliens, and this is really great, that you can be introduced to someone, hear their name, and go, right, I also know what kind of alien species they are. There's the Skolorno, which seem to be named after American place names, or like place names, so there's Denver and other names off the top of my head. I don't remember them all. And the humans kind of like have normal names like Samantha and Rachel and John. And I'm like, okay, that's quite cool as well. And then the Quiths, is it the Quith? No, I can't remember what the Quiths have another game. I can't remember exactly what their naming scheme is. But then the Credorakians have, they all have a little epithet. So it's Grigo the Splithead, Grizzo the Efficient, Shaka the Impersonator, those different names there as well. And as soon as you hear that, you're like, well, I already know what this kind of alien is, and you can just picture them and just then move on with the story. So I think that's pretty much, I've gone through all of my notes there. That's all I have. This book is a fun continuation of the first book, but it isn't, I don't think it is as good as the first book. The Rookie is better than this, but this is a continuation of a story that I like with characters that I like. And I think I'll get on to the next book next year, or whenever I get round to the what was it called again? That was actually the book at the top. The All Pro. I will probably get round to The All Pro. It kind of gives away, I looked at the series of what the next books in this series are, and it's like, well, that kind of gives away what's going to happen or what the state of the league is going to be or where Quentin Barnes is going to be as a character and as a player. Yeah, it's one of those things where you just go, well, thanks for giving away the overall arc, but it's a sports book. I don't think there's much not to give away here. So let's go with it. He's going to be the All Pro next time out. So, which I'm guessing is like Pro Bowl kind of guy. So he's not the top of the league. He's not going to win. They're not going to win the champion, but he's going to get invited to the Pro Bowl or the All-Star game, I guess is what it can be. So, yeah, it's a little bit, this book is also a little bit more repetitive. It feels like, you know, there's this happens and then this happens and then you get a bit more characters on the field and then they get a bit more characters off the field. And again, it kind of switches backwards and forwards between them. And as I said before, the on-field action isn't quite... what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't really hold together as a full novel. It seems to be a bit serious, like, okay, here's a short story about this, and that kind of comes to a conclusion, but we're only halfway through the season, or a third of the way through the season, so now let's have another storyline. Okay, that's good. Oh yeah, but we've still got four games left in the season. Okay, let's wrap it up, and this is going to happen. Okay, now we've wrapped it up on these last few games of the season, you know. So it feels like a series of stories, but, you know, not like a single storyline like the first book, but it's overall pretty good. So it is a step down, but still perfectly enjoyable. I gave the rookie 4.5 stars, and I still, and it obviously holds up, because even, let's say, 6 years later, it's still there in my brain. I'm going to give this one 3.5 stars, or maybe 4 stars. No, it's just, no, well, that was the kind of thing. It's kind of in between. So I think I'll give it 3.5 stars, which means that if the next book is better than this one, but not as good as The Rookie, it's kind of got somewhere to go, and we can rate the book over the series. So I think that's all I've got to say about this. I am going to move on with 3.5 stars. Yeah, I'm going to move on. The next book that I'm going to read, well, I've got a few. I've got Ancillary Mercy that I still want to read. I've got that as an ebook. I've got different audiobooks. The Lathe of Heaven, I was like, yes, I'll get that one. And but I said the only audiobook version I have is like this dodgy transferred from a cassette tape, and it's not good enough quality. And the start of the story didn't immediately grab me, and then goes, yes, I can listen. I'd love to listen to this story, which is grabbing me, even if it's bad quality audio. It didn't grab me that much, so I'm probably going to put that on hold and get a better copy of it. But I did download Children of God, which is the follow-up to The Sparrow. And people were saying, hey, you should read the sequel. I was like, I'll probably not read the sequel. But I got an Audible credit, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just go for it. Let's read about Jesuits in space a bit more. So if you've got any book recommendations, please send them in to me. Luke@juggler.net. Excuse me. Luke@juggler.net. I do reply to every email that I get. If you've got a book that you want me to read and you've written it or you're promoting it, just don't send me an email. I'm going to stop even responding to that. For almost 10 years, I've been responding to all of the requests for people to read a review, reviews of my book, but it's many a week and I just can't be bothered to keep up with it anymore, I don't think. Yes, and also it's coming up where we are, 2 episodes away from episode number 300. In a few weeks' time, I'll be back home and me and Juliano can record episode 300. We don't have very many ideas, but if you go to the goodreads.com page for the SFBRP listener group, just search for that SFBRP listener group, and there's a thread there called episode 300. So stick in your questions, stick in your recommendations, say what you want us to do on episode 300, because we don't have any ideas, I don't have any ideas. And if we don't have any ideas, any question that's stuck there in that thread, discussion forum thread, we will talk about and reply to and see if we can get through it all as a special, turning it over to the listenership episode, special episode. That's it from me. Oh, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm @LukeBurge. That's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.